understanding spiritual authority. Somewhere last year, I think, I don't know, maybe about 2 years ago, I preached a message I titled Siamese Twins. And I indicated in that message that authority goes with power. You know, but you have to understand authority in order to be able to exercise power. You know, so this morning we'll be focusing just on understanding authority. When we talk about, you know, unfortunately, the Bible sometimes does not help. Some of the translations, where it is supposed to be authority, they translate it as power. And where it's supposed to be power, they translate it as authority. You know, but these are two different things. But they are like Siamese twins. One cannot go without the other. Otherwise, you will go nowhere. When we talk about authority, we are talking about one, the right to do. You have got the legal right to do what you are doing. That is different from your ability to do. Ability to do comes, is associated with power. But I want us to understand that you may have the right to do something. For example, when a king dies, and the son who is supposed to take over is a 2-year, 3-year-old. He has all the authority of a king, but he does not have the ability of a king. You know, so authority is the right for you to do what you are doing. It is a recognition. It is a conferment of recognition. You are recognized, approved, accepted for you to do what you are doing. Not only that you have the right to do, others recognize that right that you have. So it is a conferment of approval. It is the right to do, and it is a conferment. You know, if I have been given authority and nobody recognizes that authority, then I have a problem. So authority is the right to do. It is a conferment of recognition. It is implied approval of your responsibility by virtue of your position. Implied approval of your responsibility by virtue of your position. I will give us some examples so that it will become quite clear. Let's take an ordinary example, a classroom teacher. Under normal circumstances, that teacher has no authority over my child after school hours. No, even if it is his or her teacher, after school, he or she cannot discipline my child because the authority is conferred to him only as a teacher by virtue of his position as a teacher in the school. So when my child is in the school and is under his authority, then he can exercise that authority. Let's take the case of a policeman in his uniform. He stands at the intersection of a highway, and there is an articulated truck coming at top speed. And the policeman may be as lanky as anything. In his uniform, he stands in the middle of the road and he lifts up his hand, and the articulated driver, if he's a normal person and is seeing clearly, has no choice but to do what? Apply the brakes. He does not have the strength. He does not have the power to stop. But by virtue of the fact that he is in a police uniform, it is a position, because of his position and because he is recognized and because he's been given authority by the state, you disobey or try and knock him and see what will happen to you. You know, so we also see the situations here. Our police people have authority, but they haven't been empowered. So sometimes when the policeman says, stop, you see some drivers, just going away. Because they know that the guy can't run after him. But in other places, in addition to the authority, he has been empowered. So when you are going, they say, freeze, you have no choice but to lift up your hands, because you don't know what will follow next. That's why you say, I surrender. When he says, freeze, because you know that if you don't freeze, they will freeze you. You will end up in a freezer. If he says, freeze, and you don't freeze yourself, he will freeze you. Because he has been empowered. In addition to the authority, he has been empowered. Sometimes we employ security people, and all that they have is a torchlight and some stick that even a dog can decide to stand there, and the stick won't do anything. No, so we have to realize that authority without power is ineffective. And power without authority is illegal. When you try to exercise power for which you do not have authority, you can be dealt with. You know, so when we are talking about authority in the general sense, we are talking about, one, your rights. You have every right to do what you are doing. Your right to do. It is a conferment, of recognition of what you have to do. And it is an implied approval of your responsibility by virtue of your position. Now, I want us to go through the history of spiritual authority in the Bible. Where did it start from? What happened to it? Where has it gotten to? And how is it related to me as I sit here, as I stand here today? How is spiritual authority related to me? So if we want to find the beginnings of spiritual authority, let's go to the book of the beginnings. So let's go to Genesis chapter 1. And can somebody read verse 26 for us? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our own likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Let them have dominion. Dominion means complete authority. After God created man, that was why because he could not give authority. You know, he can only give authority to somebody who is just like him. So the Bible is careful to say, and God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air and over the cattle, over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So after God has created everything, he put man in a position of authority. So in effect, he gave man a kingdom. You know, kingdom comes from two words, king and domain. So you are a king over a particular domain. I have a kingdom. If you come to my family, I am the king. But that is my domain. It doesn't go beyond my house. So, you know, God has established us in a kingdom. You know, where he said he's made us what? Priests and kings. And we have the domain in which we are recognized and have the authority to exercise our kingship. But like a 2 year or 3 year old who has the authority but does not have the knowledge, does not have the understanding, and does not have the power, you know, it is ineffective. A whole lot of Christians have been rendered ineffective for lack of knowledge. Let's look at Genesis chapter 2. So we see that right from the beginning, God gave authority to man over the affairs of the earth. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, we'll be reading from verses 15 to 17. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Let's continue. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good. Okay. So now, we see that the authority that was given had certain conditions attached. You have dominion over everything. You have authority. But these are certain things that go with it. You know, so if you do not comply, what happens? Now let's look at Genesis chapter 3. We'll be reading from verses 1 to 6. Because this is the area the enemy will want to attack so that you can lose your standing of authority. He is jealous of this authority that God has given to us. So the best thing I can do is to cause you to disobey, willfully disobey, so that you will lose fellowship, and for that matter, you will lose authority. So now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Was that what God said? Why did he go to the woman? Because God gave the instructions directly to Adam. Adam passed it on to Eve. So always they will want to go through the path of least resistance where, you know, he is trying to let you doubt whether you really heard correctly, whether this is really the meaning of the word. When somebody wants to compromise, they will use the same scripture and interpret it in another way. You know, because he wants to justify himself. So he comes and says, did God say you should not eat of every tree? But that was not what God said. You know, so the enemy will always, when he's coming to you as a pastor and he wants to rob you of your authority, you know, he's not going to come with something that you know obviously is wrong. He will try to twist something for you to have a different interpretation and not the right interpretation. That is why he's saying that the serpent is more subtle. You see, he will not come, we have the tendency.